The Conservative MP, Ed Vasey, is joining us this morning. Good morning to you, Ed.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So you're one of the rebels, not backing your Prime Minister, weakening his negotiating position, and he says the EU were starting to budge.
Yes. That is correct. That is Boris's view. Listen, I actually, weirdly, over the summer, came to a position where I was very, very supportive of Boris Johnson's position. It took me a while to realise this, but Parliament was not passing a deal, and I admired and respected the Prime Minister in the sense that he was bringing this to a head. He was forcing Parliament to decide between a very unpalatable no deal or a deal. And I was therefore not going to rebel. And in fact, up until yesterday evening, it was pretty much 52-48 whether I was going to rebel. But I think what changed my mind was the prorogation, not because I regarded the prorogation as a constitutional outrage, but simply because the restriction of time available meant that if MPs were going to do anything to stop no deal, this was the moment. And I would prefer to wait to see if Boris got a deal and then to act to try and potentially stop no deal if Parliament hadn't seen sense. But I felt this was the right moment, the only moment when we could do that. And I also felt, frankly, that once he had said that the whip was being taken away, I thought, when I wake up and look at myself in the mirror, will I feel comfortable that colleagues of mine who I hugely admire and respect, like Nicola Soames, have had the whip removed? I'd rather go down with people like that than stay around with the people who removed the whip.
But what does this mean for the future of the Tory party? An ex-chancellor, in fact, two ex-chancellors removed, Ken Clark, Philip Hammond. What does this mean for the future of your party?
We've debated Brexit for years now, and all of us have become experts in one way or another. Some of us are constitutional experts, some of us are negotiating experts, some of us are experts on the EU. We've also become experts on political spin. And we all know what the government's strategy is. We know that Boris is setting himself up, or rather Cummings is setting himself up, as the people, the representative of the people, and that people like me are the evil guys who are stopping the will of the people, and the EU are the evil guys who are stopping the will of the people, and the allegation that we're somehow in hock Jeremy Corbyn. And so he wants an election, and that's how he'll frame it. In some respects, I hope we have an election, and I would wish Boris Johnson well to get a majority. The very least we need now in Parliament is a government with a majority that can actually govern. That would be a good thing. But it's going to be unpleasant. It's going to be very, very vicious. And I think really what this vote has shown in terms of what I've seen, in terms of the emails and messages I've had, is that there is a huge amount of worry, concern, despair even, of people who totally accept the referendum result but are flabbergasted, amazed, has been hijacked by a small cabal of ultra-Eurosceptic MPs who now claim that the will of the people is for this great nation to crash out of Europe without a deal. It's pathetic.
Well, you say it's pathetic, but of course many Brexiteers would say the ultimate instruction was, we're getting out. That was the instruction. It didn't say we're then not getting out if there's not a deal. We're getting out.
Yeah, and there's some
psychology. You're calling that pathetic.
There's some psychology involved here, and I can't pretend to a certain extent there wasn't a personal element in my decision to rebel, because as a Remainer who voted to trigger Article 50 out of respect for the referendum result, and then to vote three times for a withdrawal agreement would have taken us out on the 29th of March. To watch the people who campaigned to leave, the people, by the way, that Dominic Cummings went out of his way to keep out of the Vote Leave campaign, the people who tried to sack Dominic Cummings when he was running the Vote Leave campaign, set themselves up as the sole interpreters of what leaving meant and what a deal meant, and then to vote against the withdrawal agreement three times, and then to stand up yesterday as if butter would melt in their mouths to say, isn't it an outrage that we haven't left after 3 years? It's a scandal that you haven't implemented the will of the people. Well, I implemented the will of the people to to leave the EU three times, and I was stopped by the very people who now say that I'm frustrating Brexit.
Ed Vizzi, thank you. The SDLP MLA, Claire Hanna. Good morning to you, Claire.
Good morning, Stephen.
What do people in Northern Ireland face?
I think, we've rehearsed a lot about what people face about no deal, and we know there will be disruption, potentially massive disruption, and I suppose it depends on how quickly sense prevails and a deal is put in place. But I think people will have watched what did look like, you know, some sort of bad theatre show last night, and be concerned about how seriously people are taking this. But I have to say, I'm taking some hope from yesterday, and I have to commend people like your last guest there, who I confess I don't know much about and probably don't agree with on a lot of issues, but it is very courageous of people to essentially sacrifice their careers in the interests of their constituents. And what it does show, because for the last 3 years, a lot of us have hoped to see MPs who oppose no deal chaos and MPs who see a better way come together and take their courage and try and reshape this debate. And that now is a possibility. While it will be an uphill struggle, there is a pathway out of this. And if we get an election, and I agree with a lot of other people, the sequencing is vital. We should not, absolutely not, go to an election without having no deal taken off the table. But there is going to be a space for MPs who are
And the simple thinking around that, to explain to people, is that if, for Boris Johnson, under the Fixed Term Parliament Act, to get an election, he may indeed need two-thirds of the votes of the Commons to be able to push that through. If a general election was then announced, Boris Johnson is currently saying that election could be on the 15th of October, but there is a loophole where he could change the date of the election, and what Remainers and others are worried about, especially within the Labour Party, is that if he changed the date of the election to after the 31st of October, then we would find ourselves out of the EU without them being able to do anything about it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the fact that he is trying to smother the voices of people who don't agree with what is now a very narrow crusade and very divergent from what people campaigned on in 2016. But what people, we asked at the start, what about people in Northern Ireland, on the island of Ireland? We have to remember the old mantra: if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So we need to make sure that we have people there who are going to represent the needs of people here.
Okay. Claire Hanna, thank you very much indeed. We're going to take your calls after 10 this morning. Big, big political times that we're facing. Extraordinary times in the Commons last night. It's going to be another extraordinary night of drama this evening again.